Part 1. After I accepted the position of governess, I felt sure that I had made a mistake. I was anxious about it for the next 2 days, and on the long coach ride to Bligh. However, when I arrived in the evening of a beautiful summer day, the place seemed to offer me a friendly welcome. The windows of the great house were open, and a pair of maids looked out. The housekeeper, Mrs. Groves, stood at the front door, and a little girl held her hand. Her name was Flora, and she was the most beautiful child that I had ever seen. Mrs. Groves treated me with great courtesy. She showed me my room, which was one of the largest and best bedrooms in the house. After all my anxiety, this was a pleasant surprise. The only thing that seemed strange was that Mrs. Groves was obviously so glad to see me. She seemed enormously relieved by my arrival. Mrs. Groves and I decided to move Flora's little white bed into my room. I wanted to be with her always and take full responsibility for her. As we sat at dinner, I asked Mrs. Groves, "Does the boy look like her?"
"Yes,"
replied Mrs. Groves.
"Master Miles is a beautiful child. He comes home from school on Friday."
The next day, I asked Flora to show me round the house and gardens. She agreed with great pleasure. The house seemed like a castle in a fairy story, and Flora, with her golden hair and her blue dress, was the fairy. That evening, a letter arrived for me from my employer. It was only a few words, but enclosed with his note was another letter. "This," wrote my employer, "is from the headmaster of Miles's school. Please read the letter and respond to it. I don't want to know anything about it." I opened the headmaster's letter and read it. The letter was so disturbing that I did not sleep that night, and the next morning I decided to discuss it with Mrs. Groves. "Mrs. Groves, what can it mean? The headmaster says that Miles must leave the school. He is not invited to return." Mrs. Groves blushed.
"But why not? What has Master Miles done?"
she asked. "The headmaster does not say clearly. He simply says that Miles cannot continue at the school. It must mean that he has done something bad, and that the headmaster does not want him near the other children."
"Why does he say such cruel things? Master Miles is only 10 years old. When you see him, you will understand."
"Have you ever seen him do anything bad?" I asked her.
"Of course I have. He is a child, after all."
"You like children with a naughty spirit?" I asked, then added, "So do I, but not so naughty as to corrupt other children." Mrs. Groves laughed and said,
"Are you afraid he'll corrupt you?"
The next day I asked her, "Who was the lady who was here before?"
"The last governess. She was young and pretty, almost as young and pretty as you."
"He seems to like us young and pretty," I said.
"Oh, he did. He liked everyone young and pretty."
Then she seemed to feel she had said something that she should not have said.
"I mean, that's his way, the master's."
"But of whom did you speak first?" Mrs. Groves blushed.
"Of the master, of course. Who else?"
"Did the last governess think that Miles was naughty?"
"She never said so."
"Did she die here?"
"No,"
said Mrs. Groves.
"She went away."
"Do you mean that she became ill and went home?"
"No. She went home for a short vacation, but she never came back. Then I heard that she was dead."
"But of what?" I asked.
"He never told me. Please, miss, I must return to my work."